If your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Bill Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Coming up in this analysis of our investigation into the enduring appeal of town centre grit racing and the Brother UK-sponsored The Tour Series. We learn why the Tour Series' return from its COVID-enforced hiatus offers new names a chance to make their mark.
There are so many names, it's very difficult to know just who's going to be at the sharp end, if you like, of the Tour Series, because there's a lot of young talent coming through looking to make a name for themselves.
We hear how even Triple Olympic champions have targeted the Brother Fastest Lap competition.
I can remember Ed Clancy telling me once that they decided to do exactly that. You just saw the team arrive like a train with Ed on the back of it, and Ed just catapulted off the back of this lead out, and yes, of course, nailed the fastest lap award of the night.
And we celebrate the role that bike racing might play in bringing life back to towns and city centres struggling with a post-COVID economy. I think it will be very interesting to monitor the public's response to the Tour of Britain in September. It's a big assumption, but, you know, assuming life has returned to something like normality by the time of the Grand Depart and the Cornish Riviera, then I think other councils will be inspired by the sight of thousands of people flocking to towns like Penzance. Hello and welcome to this special preview of the Brother UK-sponsored Tour Series with me, Timothy John, my co-host Phil Jones, the Managing Director of Brother UK, and Larry Hickmott, the founder and editor of Brother UK-sponsored FellowUK.net. This episode is the second part of our detailed two-part celebration of the nation's best-loved crit series. Check out part one to hear insights from British Circuit Race champions Joey Walker, Rebecca Durrell, from Mark Botley, the manager of Team Brother UK on form, and from Peter Hodges, the communications director at Sweet Spot Group, the Tour Series organiser. Now, after the seismic events of the last year and a half, the return of the Tour Series, and even if it has been moved from its traditional May slot to August and compressed from 2 weeks to one, well, it represents a very welcome return to normality. The action kicks off in Gisborough on Sunday, August the 8th. It moves on to Sunderland on Tuesday, August the 10th, and wraps up north of the border in Castle Douglas on Thursday, August the 12th. Brother UK will again proudly serve the series as official print and results partner and as sponsor of the Brother Fastest Lap competition. Brother UK sponsored teams, Team Onform, Team LDN, and Crimson Performance Orientation Marketing will compete in all three rounds. Phil, you'll be heading along to Gisborough and to Sunderland, I think.
I definitely am, Tim. I'm really excited to get over to Gisborough. I've obviously not been over that way before, so that'd be something new for me. And yes, my intention is I'll be presenting the Brother Fastest Lap trophies at the Gisborough round and the Sunderland round, and hopefully with a bike ride in between.
Well, great stuff. Larry, it almost goes without saying, but I guess you'll be heading along as well?
I'm hoping to be. I'm not sure how the COVID thing is going to affect anything, but the plan is to be at all three because I've been going to these since 2009 when they first started. It will be interesting to see how this one pans out because it's been an extremely different year.
Well, we heard in part one of this episode from Peter Hodges that he's attended 102 of the 107 rounds held since 2009. Larry, I think you're the only man who could run him even close. How many of you attended?
I'm not sure, I think, but there were a few when I was working for British Cycling that I didn't get to go to. So there's probably five or six that I haven't been to. I probably will run Pete quite close, but Pete should have been to more, I think. I don't know.
So what is it about crit racing? It's fast, it's furious, it's adrenaline-fueled. In fact, so much adrenaline that Bex Durrell told us in part one that her heart rate is over 120, just stood on the start line. Crit racing is a worldwide phenomenon. In Europe, we have the historic post-Tour de France criteriums, very lucrative for the riders, of course, and a chance for the fans to get up close with their heroes of the previous 3 weeks. In America, crit racing is the dominant form of road racing. And we heard in part one that Sweet Spot has a partnership with USA Crits that will allow the overall winners of this year's Tour Series, both men's and women's, to compete in the finals of the American Series in North Carolina this September. Then there are slightly different formats like the Red Hook Crits, which have taken fixed gear alley cat racing from the mean streets of Brooklyn to major European capitals like Barcelona and Milan. And finally, there are the Bay Series Crits in Australia, your neck of the woods, Les, held in the run-up to the Tour Down Under, and so arguably the starting point for the entire international calendar. Larry, have you ever been to the Bay Crits?
I have been to the Bay Crits. I was there when Ian Bibby won the overall and Caleb Ewan won the round that I was there. So that was quite special. The thing about crits is that they're in front of people. People can see them. Road racing, they're out in the country. You see them four or five times unless you're actually in the car watching them or it's televised, of course. But crit racing, you see them every 30 seconds or every minute, especially with these Tour Series rounds, which are always on circuits, which are, I think, a maximum of around about 1.6K.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, conveniently, Sweet Spot have just published course details for this year's Tour Series, and Castle Douglas is the longest of the three at 1.4K. Both Gisborough and Sunderland are 1.3K. So, Phil, what appeals to you about the crit? It's very compressed, isn't it? You're absolutely guaranteed to see the action, and the race is always on. It's super high intensity, isn't it?
I've been going to the Tour Series rounds now for a number of years, and I hadn't really watched crit racing before I'd kind of got into cycling. And I think it really is just the fact that you are seeing the riders more regularly, as Larry mentions there. You know, they are lapping. It's a fast and furious, normally 1 hour plus five laps or so of racing. And it brings the destinations where these races are held together. People come from all over to come to city centres or towns or village centres where these races are staged. You know, it's vibrant. There's things going on. The bars are busy. The restaurants are busy. People of all ages are on the side of the streets. And there's a great energy that sits around the race by having so many people watching it. It's really good. Great fun to go and watch.
Absolutely. I mean, not only does the Tour Series have that wonderful community atmosphere you describe, but, you know, there's a real professional quality to it as well. Year in, year out, with the exception of COVID, we know that the Tour Series is going to take place. As we said earlier, 107 rounds since 2009. They do a tremendous job. Since 2014, Brother UK has sponsored the Tour Series. And since 2016, we've been the official print and results partner. And of course, we sponsored the Brother Fastest Lap Trophy too. Phil, I'm casting my mind back now a couple of years to the Wembley Park round. And I remember you presenting the fastest lap trophy to a certain Connor Swift.
Yes, I've met all manner of top riders on that stage over the years. And I think it goes to show Connor's very wide range of ability. I mean, you've got to be a certain type of rider to win a crit race. I mean, you've got to have this ability to ride at threshold for a very long time. You've got to have a tremendous bike handling skills. You've got to be able to read dynamically a race, which is very, very intensive. And chapeau to him, because I think it just shows the rider that he is. And if you look back over the Tour Series, you know, all over the years, the sort of riders that have emerged and have done well in it, you know, Dean Downing, Rob Hales, Ed Clancy, Graham Biggs, John Mould, Anna Henderson, Rebecca Durrell, Jess Roberts, Nicky Juniper, fabulous riders, you know, some of our best riders who actually then racing on the road have really honed their craft on some of the crit races and in the town centres of the UK.
Well, when you reel off those names, Phil, it's hard to imagine a British season without the Tour Series. And yet there once was, of course. And someone who would have seen that landscape is Larry. Larry, you've been covering this sport for 21 years. What was the feeling about the Tour Series when it was founded back in 2009? Did it arrive with a bang, or has it slowly carved its own niche and got bigger year on year?
It's definitely got bigger year on year. Crit racing has been part of the history of this country, going back to the Kellogg series and other ones over the years. So it's always been looked forward to. I think the big thing about the Tour Series was it was a format that round on round, depending on where the venues were, was always very much the same. Very slick, very professional. And most important thing, was it was televised. The teams rely on that television. And I think that's one of the key draw cards and why there are so many teams wanting to be part of it this year. I think there are more teams in it this year than I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, 28 teams in total this year, according to Sweet Spot, 13 teams in the men's series and 15 in the women's. Larry, you were at the recent crit races in Otley and Ilkley. I watched Ilkley on the live stream and it looked like there were thousands of people there.
What was the atmosphere like on the ground?
It was incredible. Both Otley and Ilkley had huge, huge crowds. And I think it was a celebration of coming out of lockdown, because all this is happening around these different moments during the year when lockdown is unraveling. There were just so many people just enjoying themselves. And I think that's the great thing. And hopefully that will be the same thing at the tour series. People are just enjoying being able to come into a town centre, meet up, chat, have a beer or a drink or whatever. Yeah, I think it was just an absolutely incredible atmosphere.
I think it would be very interesting to monitor the public's response to the Tour of Britain in September. It's a big assumption, but, you know, assuming life has returned to something like normality by the time of the Grand Depart on the Cornish Riviera. And I think other councils will be inspired by the sight of thousands of people flocking to towns like Penzance. Well, let's return to the sporting side now. One thing that the Tour Series does phenomenally well is develop young riders. Now, in part one of this episode, Peter at Sweet Spot very modestly refused to claim any credit. He says that Sweet Spot merely provide a platform to perform. But if you look at the roster of riders who performed on that platform, it is very, very impressive. Tom Pidcock, newly crowned Olympic mountain bike champion, Anna Henderson, who very recently recorded her first professional victory. I mean, these are just two names among scores. Larry, are there any young riders who stick in your memory where you might have thought, you know, 45 minutes to an hour ago, I'd never heard of this rider, and now I'm convinced they have a very bright future in the sport?
It's just difficult to pick out names because there are so many. But, you know, one that does stick in my mind because he won at Otley only 3 weeks ago, and that was Matt Gibson. And I think it was Peterborough when he, as a junior, he won the round of the Tour Series there individually. And I think that's the thing about the Tour Series. I don't think it develops the riders, but it gives them an opportunity to test themselves against the very best and to make a name for themselves. So people like Matt Gibson and others are able to come forward and show themselves. There are a lot of others like Tom Pidcock, Helen Wyman, who hasn't been mentioned, Lucy Garner, Grace Garner. There are so many different individuals. And that's what's great about the Tour Series, is seeing this young talent come through that we're going to go and see on the bigger stage in the coming years.
We've already mentioned Anna Henderson, who nowadays, of course, plies her trade as a fully-fledged professional with Jumbo-Visma, arguably the biggest team in the entire sport, but who exploded onto the domestic scene with Brother UK on form at the Tour Series. If you want to learn more about Anna, then do head to the Brother Cycling blog. But the short version is that she was a very successful downhill skier, a British junior champion, no less, until a horrific accident led her to the bike as a means of recovery. The rest, of course, is history. Phil, you were talking off air about seeing Anna race at Wembley Park, and it was immediately obvious to you, I think, just what a special talent she is.
Some people just look good on a bike, don't they? And I can remember just seeing Anna racing in the early days when she appeared at the Tour Series, and just her bike handling skills, her balance, all of these, I guess, years of being a downhill skier, her ability to take a line, all of these things just came together when she got onto a bike, and she really was a phenomenal package. And all she really needed to begin to learn was the tactics of how to win a crit. All the other componentry was there to give her the ingredients to be a phenomenal Brit rider, and she turned out to be that. So yeah, very, very impressive individual, and I guess it's really brilliant to see just what she's achieving now as she develops her career.
But Anna kind of represents one of the interesting subplots of the Tour Series for people close to the sport, and that's seeing the hand-picked riders of British Cycling's Olympic Academy go wheel to wheel with young talent on a different pathway.
The GB Academy on the women's side, people like Luna King and Abby Smith and others, I think that's going to be one of the most exciting aspects of this year's Tour Series, to see them perform, because I know Luna won Otley, Abby won the Cycler Classic by many minutes. The GB Academy on the women's side has a lot of exciting talent, and I think that's going to be showcased via Team Breeze in this year's Tour Series.
Well, that will be fascinating to watch. The very best of Team Breeze up against Cams Basso, our own Team Brother UK London, who've had a tremendous season so far. I mean, Lucy Lee has turned out to be a winning machine. She won the Guildford Town Centre races, among many other. And, you know, that crit in Guildford is another very prestigious race. Team Brother UK on form is a young squad. It's an inexperienced squad, by manager Mark Botley's own admission in part one of this episode. But my goodness, if you want to bring young, developing talent to the Tour Series, well, Becky Story and Imani Pereira-James are two pretty sharp arrows to have in your quiver. Imani's just won a bronze medal at the British Junior Track Championships, and she trains regularly with the stars of Team GB, those riders currently out at the Olympic Games in Tokyo, when she's training at the National Cycling Centre in Manchester. Becky Story, of course, is the newly crowned Scottish road race champion. She's an e-racer for Movie Star Team, the World Tour squad, and another really class act. Larry, who from outside of that Team Breeze setup impressed you at Otley, at Ilkley and elsewhere this year? Who are the riders that have really grabbed your attention?
The fact that we've had this break where 2020, the sport almost disappeared off the face of the earth, is that we're seeing a lot of new names. Like there was a Barnsley road race where the might of Canyon were competing, but a guy from PB Performance, Josh Whitehead, won the sprint against another young and up-and-coming rider, Toby Barnes, who won at Loughborough. There are a lot of names. Danny Shrewsbury also won a road race from London, Brother UK team. There are so many names, it's very difficult to know just who's going to be at the sharp end, if you like, of the Tour Series, because there's a lot of young talent coming through looking to make a name for themselves. And you mentioned a lot of the teams there, like the Brother UK London team with Lucy Lee, etc., etc. There's the Story Racing with Beth Morrow and others. There's so many. There is so many. I mean, Crimson Performance, they have definitely impressed me in being able to race with the UCI teams and be in the mix, so to speak, with the likes of Joey Walker, Toby Barnes and others.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Ilkley felt like a coming of age for the Crimson Performance men's team. Brother UK has been at their side since day one, since 2018 when the team was founded. And team manager Matt Hallam, he's an ambitious guy, no question. A young manager in a hurry. My goodness, at Ilkley, you know, they really looked like the real deal, didn't they? British circuit race champion Joey Walker, well, he might just be the signing that's made the difference, I think. I mean, clearly, you know, Joey's a class act, but not only is he a quality rider, he's obviously one who can inspire his teammates as well. Let's talk now about the skills that a crit rider needs. One of my favourite quotes from part one of this episode is Joey saying, "If you're not always on the verge of crashing, you're not going fast enough." I mean, this is a discipline where no quarter is asked or given. It's fast acceleration in and out of corners. It demands tremendous bike handling skills. Braking often seems optional for the fastest riders. Phil, when you've been along to the Tour Series, what's been the chief aspect of the riding that you've taken away with you?
Flat out, from the gun, and hang on to the line. One thing I've always noticed is I always enjoy walking around the pits before the gun goes. And one thing you'll realise is that absolutely everybody goes to that line fully warmed up, because there's no easy rollout. It literally is eyes out racing from the gun, and you've got to have incredible fitness, that ability to ride at the very top of your performance flat out for a whole hour. And, you know, the ability to take some of these corners at really quite terrifying speeds at time in a bunch with everybody on their limit. I mean, it requires, I think, a great fortitude, a great skill, and a great technical bike handling skills. It really is something to watch. And, I really got great admiration for anybody that's able to race in one of those Tour Series.
I mean, if anything, the riders look stronger than ever. Canyon DHB, Sun God were the proverbial train in Ilkley. Joey Walker was clearly equal to them. And Leon Mazzone chased down every attack on Joey's behalf. Every time Canyon launched, Leon was on the case. Now, Larry, you were at the heart of this recent golden era that we enjoyed. You know, Dean Downing, Christian Howes, the Barnes sisters, the Garner sisters. You know, we've seen some great riders since 2009. But is it getting harder? Do you think the level is rising? Are this current crop even stronger?
I'm not sure if they're stronger. As we go through generations, there's always this cycle of champions coming through. I mean, in the early days, you had guys like Dean Downing and Rob Hales, etc., Graham Briggs, who were the fast guys, Ed Clancy. And now you've got the guys like Matt Bostock, Matt Gibson, Freddie Sheska. There's a lot of fast guys out there. Just going back to the skills factor, I think the one thing that people, having tried to follow back in my racing days in the late 90s, try and follow an elite around a bend, around sharp bends like that, that is the scariest and most important skill these guys need to have. And I think that's where, when you look at these races and you look at the back end of the race, that's where a lot of the guys struggle, the guest riders, etc., etc. They just can't go around the bends as quick as the elite guys, who have no fear. So a skill, if you can call it that, of having no fear, of being able to throw yourself around a bend is very important, but also not to be put off when some guy dive bombs you on the inside as well. And I think fear and being able to be calm on the bike and to be able to sprint you out of each of the bends. I mean, I think that's one thing about the courses this year. Sunderland's quite an easy course with only four bends. The other courses, like the one at Castle Douglas and Gisborough, a lot more twisty. So there's a lot more stopping and a lot more sprinting. So the back end of the race will soon start to disappear and break up. It's going to be interesting from that point of view.
It's funny to think, isn't it, about recovery in a format where the race is an hour long for the guys and 45 minutes for the women. That ability to recover in race, you know, between corners, a hot lap and a recovery lap. And then with the Tour Series, you know, because it is a series, they're racing three times in a week. There's also that need to recover between rounds. You know, Joey told us in part one, didn't he, that it's like a stage race, but not a stage race, which is a pretty good way of putting it. I think I can see where he's coming from. Riders sometimes don't leave the circuit until 10 o'clock at night. Then they've got a day of travel before they're at it again the following day. This year we have three rounds in, you know, fairly close geographical proximity. Phil, do you think that'll make a difference? The fact that the transfers won't be anything like as long this year?
When you've got the Tour Series running an absolutely full series, it takes a big commitment from all the teams and all the riders on the teams, actually. Of course, some who have day jobs as well as being riders on the teams at the weekend. So it is a huge commitment to turn up and race a Tour Series. But I think, as Larry said earlier, it's a series which is televised. And this is a very, very important platform for all the teams who are riding to talk to potential sponsors about, to show return to their existing sponsors. And obviously, there are very few opportunities now in the UK scene outside of the Tour of Britain and the Women's Tour, where racing is actually seen on the TV now, which of course is a very premium product, which does attract sponsors. So I think everyone's really keen to get engaged with this. The fact now that this particular year we're only having three rounds on the 8th, the 10th and the 12th of August, and the travelling required, you know, Gisborough, Sunderland, Castle Douglas, is certainly much more compressed. I think that will certainly be advantageous for the teams this year. There's not so much cost there. There's not so much time away. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why we're seeing quite so many teams actually taking part this year.
I think that's a very good point. And it'll be really interesting to see the format in which the Tour Series returns next year. In part one, Peter told us, didn't he, that Sweet Spot's ambition is to return to that two-week series in May. But yeah, let's just see how that works out. Mark Botley made the point, didn't he, in part one, that if British Cyclesport doesn't learn a few lessons from 2021, it'll be an opportunity missed. He believes that the road season ends too soon nowadays and that the cyclocross season begins too early. Mark told us he was very pleased that the series had landed where it has this year, 2 weeks before Rydale and in a quiet period where the riders might otherwise have lost focus. Larry, what are your thoughts on that?
I think a Tour Series this year, as a one-off event based around what we've had to put up with COVID, is actually ideal placed, and has many advantages in that got a lot of guys preparing for the Tour of Britain, a lot of the teams preparing for the Tour of Britain. So the Tour Series gives them the opportunity to get that top end, to get that intensity work that they might not ordinarily get in a road race. So they can be able to deal with that later on in the Tour of Britain. I think from that point of view, it's fine. I mean, back in the old days when the Tour Series used to be spread out over 6 weeks, I could understand the problems in that it did get in the way of road racing because you had road racing mixed in with the Tour Series over a long period of time. But now being three events in 6 days, I think is quite ideal. From talking to riders, their views to me is that it's something that they can go and attack and go for full on without having to hold anything back.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very interesting point. I guess this 2 week block in May is something that's been arrived at over many years and, you know, inevitably through a period of trial and error. But I think Mark's got a very fair point too. You know, the sport should always seek to evolve. And if this year we've chanced upon a formula that works, well, you know, why not give that some airtime, gather some opinions, see how the teams and riders want to move forwards. An aspect of the Tour Series that we haven't discussed yet, and that's absolutely critical, is that it's a team competition. Joey made the point in part one that in the National Circuit Series, the riders only have to think about being first across the line. Tour Series, very different. the team classification is based on an aggregate of the finishing times recorded by every member of the team. Bex Durrell told us in part one that the strongest riders on the team have to be very careful not to put their teammates into the red and sacrifice the team competition. Phil, in our last episode, we talked about cognitive load in the context of the race convoy and the neutral service crews at the Women's Cycle Classic. But, you know, there's a fair amount of cognitive load here too, isn't there?
The sheer intensity of the racing means there's very, very little time to think. You can quickly lose track of what's actually going on. That's one thing that when you talk to some of the riders in the past that they say is that literally you're in the red, you're going flat out, or it's a technical circuit. It's very, very difficult. There's no radios. And all you do is you ride past your DS at speed every 1.3 or so kilometres. And they shout something at you and you don't always hear it. So it's so intense. There's an awful lot going on that actually I think this is what can sometimes lead to the unpredictability of the racing, because people are just so flat out and you can then lose where your other team members are. So it takes a great degree of concentration to not only stay upright, to be delivering the power through the cranks to be out the front, but actually to also understand and have that situational awareness of where's the rest of my team? What is the team game that we're playing here? So sometimes just going over the line with your hands in the air first isn't actually a win for the team. Once you get your head around that, it's great to have your hands up in the air and say, yes, I was the strongest person on the night, but that doesn't necessarily mean the team's going to win that night if the other riders are way down the field and not picking up points.
Larry, Phil mentioned there instructions coming from the DS as the riders pass. You're in and out of the pits when you cover these races and at other areas of the circuit too. Just how effective is this communication and how quickly can things go wrong?
The communication side of things is down to each team has their own system, if you like. Systems of using an iPad, for example, or systems of particular types of calls. They do try and keep it very, very simple, so it's very, very quick and people can understand it. The other key point in all this is that the teams will go into this competition, which is a team competition, but the teams will go into it with a different approach. Some will go in there simply to win the bike race because they know that that's going to get them the maximum publicity on the night. Other teams will go in there to win the team award overall. The fastest lap award, which I'm sure Phil will have followed quite closely, there have been times when teams have actually set themselves up to try and get a rider across that line in the fastest time over a lap in terms of using all the team members to do it. I don't think that was done very often, but it was certainly done once or twice and talked about. So there's lots of different approaches that the teams are going to take. So what comes out of the pits will all depend on that.
It's interesting even to talk about tactics in such a short, sharp format. And yet, as you say, there is clearly a very strong tactical component. It's another of the many aspects that the teams and riders have to balance, whether they pursue individual victories, team success, or other competitions that will guarantee publicity. Phil, earlier you mentioned the logistical commitments, the travel, the hotels, the equipment, and the other side of that coin, of course, is budget. As a sponsor, how do you read the cost-benefit analysis for a team in taking part in the Tour Series? It demands investment from the teams, of course, but the obvious benefit is television exposure. It's a series you've simply got to be in, isn't it?
Yes, certainly over the years that we've sponsored teams, and we've obviously sponsored the series as well, Tim, you talk to lots of different teams as you wander around the pits and you engage with people, you engage with riders. And in reality, there are years when, of course, where the races are being held all up and down the country means there is a lot of travelling. And yes, of course, at times, riders may moan a bit, managers may moan a bit, but the overarching conclusion is we've got to be in it. And the reason they've got to be in it is simply because of the media profile that the race actually attracts. It is one of the most high-profile race series in the country, alongside some of the really big multi-stage day events. And as a result of that, on a business model for the domestic teams, which absolutely depends upon acquiring new sponsors and retaining sponsors, then the one thing that you've got to be able to do is present to them that you have generated publicity for the brand, the sponsor, and there's nothing better than getting onto a podium. And as Larry says there, I've also heard those discussions where it's an easy podium. Let's get the fastest lap award. Even if we can't win the team trophy on the night, that still gets us on the podium, which means we've got a rider there on the telly, hands in the air, which is what, again, makes the fabric of the race very, very interesting, because you've got mini races within races. And I can remember Ed Clancy telling me once that they decided to do exactly that. When I gave the award to Ed one night, he just said, yeah, decided to go for that. And you just saw the team come arrive like a train with Ed on the back of it, and Ed just catapulted off the back of this lead out. And yes, of course, nailed the fastest lap award of the night. But I think if you look back on that, then Ed and some of these people like Dean Downing and Graham Briggs, they all emerged from probably one of the country's best crit racing teams, which was, of course, led by John Herity, Rafa Condor, JLT Condor. John had become a master tactician in building a team who effectively used to dominate many of the rounds of this particular series back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, very much so. To bring it right up to date, John, of course, was the architect of the return to race-winning form of Ribble Weltites Matt Gibson after he suffered a virus. John took a risk in recruiting him for JLT Condor back in 2017, I think, and built him back into a formidable rider.
He certainly has. And, one thing about John was he actually was a rider as well. So he had a huge amount of experience to be able to put into these crits, because John had ridden the crits, which were a different format, not a team format, but he was able to understand exactly what needed to be done by the riders. And that's why his team was so dominant. John really is missed because of that.
Let's take a more detailed look now at the squads being fielded this year by Brother UK-sponsored teams. The Crimson Performance Orientation Marketing men's team is led by Joey Walker, who we heard from, of course, in part one, and that's an obvious selection given that Joey is the reigning British circuit race champion. Leon Mazzoni really proved his status as a rising star at Ilkley, where he was a highly effective teammate to Joey. Toby Barnes, as Larry mentioned, won the pilot event at Loughborough back in May, and came within millimetres of adding a second National B win to his palmarès at Barnsley a couple of weeks ago. Crimson are also fielding Adam Mitchell, who was second recently at the Cape and Ray Road Race. Also on the squad list for the Crimson men's team are Ed Beecher, Oliver Hazard, Chris Sheriffs and Alastair Thomas. And the Crimson Performance women's squad isn't short of quality either. Sammy Stewart won the opening National B race of the year at Haid Edge. She's won crits at Saltaire, she's won time trials by breaking course records, and even won hill climbs. Mary Wilkinson, of course, is the other very strong rider in that squad, who was recently crowned National Masters Champion. Brother UK Team LDN, well, that's Lucy Lee, who we talked about earlier as the winner of the Guildford Town Centre race. Her teammate Danny Shrewsbury, who we've also mentioned. Danny won the Barnsley Not in the Town Centre race, where she really showed her strength. Harriet Dodd always gives everything in support of her teammates, and the team will also field Ione Johnson and Fran Cutts. And then finally, Team Brother UK on form, and we've heard from Mark, of course, in part one of this episode. That team will be led by Mark's daughter Sian, who, believe it or not, will be the only rider on that squad to have ridden a round of the Tour Series. They'll also field Ellen Inglis, Daisy May Barnes, and the two huge prospects we've already discussed, Becky Storey, the newly crowned Scottish Road Race champion, and Imani Pereira James, who is a rising star even among British Cycling's Junior Olympic Academy. So what exactly can our teams achieve this year? Phil, what are you hoping to see from Brother UK's sponsored squads?
Well, of course, from my side as a sponsor, Tim, I want them to win everything, be out the front all the time, on the front of the television, on the podiums, occupying as much television and media time as they possibly can. That's the selfish sponsor side of me. But the reality is, I just love the racing. I really do. And to see a full lineup of teams there, that's always been part of our philosophy about why we do this stuff, is that we obviously are sponsoring events, we're sponsoring teams, and obviously we've got the neutral service side, which doesn't relate to the Tour Series, obviously. But when you can sponsor an event and you're sponsoring teams, what it does is sort of provide the platforms for these riders to develop. And like any conveyor system, everyone needs to build race experience, to understand how to ride, what the different styles of riding. So whether you're an experienced rider or a new rider, everyone's got to start somewhere. And certainly the Tour Series is a great leveler. You all start on the same line. It emerges very quickly whether you can or you can't keep up as the race plays out. So for me, if everyone actually just gets there and if all the riders finish and they're safe and they've enjoyed themselves and they've learned something, then I think that's a pretty good outcome for anybody that we sponsor who rides on one of those teams.
Absolutely. I mean, we were talking earlier, weren't we, about Anna Henderson, and yesterday Anna won her first professional race. I mean, what a reward for a sponsor who was at her side when she first came to prominence by winning a round of the Tour Series. Larry, from a purely sporting perspective, are there any riders you're especially looking forward to watching? You mentioned earlier Eleanor King and Abby Smith from Team Breeze. Are there others that you're hoping will shine in the 2021 Tour Series?
We haven't actually seen a lot of riders come together. And that's the thing about the Tour Series. It's like the Tour de France, if you like. It brings all the best together, and it's a completely new mix to what you've seen in the lead up to those races. So it's very difficult to know who is going to be the dominant team, for example. But as Bill was saying there, for a lot of the riders who haven't ridden the Tour Series and haven't ridden at that level before, it is a great learning place to go to. And I think that will be an exciting thing for them to learn. You know, when I see results of girls like Becky Story week in, week out, where Becky's not only winning women's races, but she's also in time trials in the top 5 or top 10 in the men's, it just shows you what a great talent she is and how interesting it will be to see her take on the best, like Abby Smith, etc., etc., in these events. And the same goes for the men's race. The Crimson team, you mentioned a few names there. And one of the things that's impressed me about the Crimson team is they have guys like Toby Barnes. They have guys like Joey Walker. Who are you looking out for? But when you actually look at the result, the strength and depth in these teams is that other riders in the team are actually in the top 10 or top 5 of a race. So that's quite an exciting team, I think, for people to watch during the Tour Series.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. Manager Matt Hallam has done a tremendous job in a number of areas, but notably this year with his team selections. He signed some very promising riders and put together a really strong squad. So just to summarise then, the Tour Series begins on Sunday, August the 8th in Gisborough. It then moves to Sunderland on Tuesday, August the 10th, and concludes in Castle Douglas on Thursday, August the 12th. We wish everybody taking part huge amounts of luck. It's wonderful to see racing return to our town centres after this hugely demanding 18-month period. Bill, Larry, thank you very much indeed for joining me, and many thanks too to everybody out there listening. Do please stay safe.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.